Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to remind everyone to, if you haven't already, fill out the end of season survey, which you can find in the description for this episode. Now, on to the episode. Hello, and welcome to the Alternate History class. My name's Andrew, and here we explore alternate history through the lens of a history class from another time. Last week, we looked at the reign of Napoleon IV up through the Berlin Conference. This week, we will look at how Wilhelm II, the Emperor of Germany, almost started the Great War through Berlin. Today we will be looking at when the Great War almost broke out over Luxembourg due to Wilhelm II's hubris and aggressiveness. Now, we'll start a little before that. As Europe was increasingly becoming more and more militaristic. Now, this would be seen in our subject nation, France, and is largely a response to public and governmental fear of the increasing power of the former Prussian state, now known as the German Empire, and wanting to keep up with their neighbors and be able to fight in the next war. Napoleon IV would also work on attempting to improve ties with Britain, which would be largely successful, as Victoria had already shown herself as somewhat open, more open than any other Hanover had been to the Napoleonic Bonapartist dynasty. This attempt was somewhat successful in normalizing relations, and was what France hoped would be the basis for an anti-German bloc to curb their power on the continent. Now, this era, known by some in Germany, the Bismarckian era, although it's known to most of us as the Victorian era, saw Germany growing bolder and bolder and stronger, including their new emperor, Wilhelm II, who was a man who wanted to continuously grow German power and prestige on the global stage. It's why he hosted the Berlin Conference and got himself some territories in Africa to attempt to improve Germany's global prestige in the world. Now, he wanted to continue to expand and unify the Germans as his father had, and so he looked at Luxembourg, which at this time was in a personal union with the Dutch. This would start as a relatively civil negotiations, as the Germans would politely ask and offer to purchase Luxembourg from the Dutch, but the Dutch had no interest in this relatively isolated territory of theirs. This would anger Wilhelm, as he would view it as an insult to himself and his honor, and he would begin to pressure the Dutch further, eventually threatening an invasion of the nation. Now, this threat would spark a response and a panic in the other great powers, would quickly offer guarantees of independence to the Dutch, who gratefully accepted that. Those nations that battered in these offers were the British, the French, the Austro-Hungarians, and the Russians. Now, if Germany did want to go to war, they would now have to be fighting on virtually every side, I guess, except for the border with the Danes, although the Danes were considering joining this group to stop Prussian expansion, and were in talks with the British, with talks of getting Schleswig and Holstein back if war did break out. But Wilhelm II did not want to back down. He did not want to show weakness. And he began to mobilize his army. This would lead to further panic, and the other great powers began to mobilize their people. The Germans lined their men up on the Dutch border. The French prepared to invade Alsace-Lorraine, and the Russians prepared to attempt to take the Prussian heartlands in the Baltic. The southern Baltic, I should say. While the Austrians looked to crush the Germans and their new and remove Prussia from the German equation. While the British planned to begin a blockade before sending troops into the Netherlands. However, in what would largely be considered his last truly great moment as Chancellor, Otto von Bismarck would talk down Wilhelm II, who would come to the negotiating table. Now, this is said to be one of the straws that broke the camel's back in their relationships, as Wilhelm would put the blame on Bismarck for what would come, as he would view it in many ways a failure and a humiliation of the Prussians and of the German Empire as a whole. What would come of the negotiations would be the Treaty of Luxembourg. The Treaty of Luxembourg would see the Germans back down from war and pay the Netherlands 1 million marks in reparations. Now, the Germans had wanted the guarantees of the Netherlands revoked, as they said. Now, there was no threat of war, but the other great powers decided it would be better to have it in case the Germans did decide to ever invade the lowlands, this would make the Netherlands very effective in their neutrality in the upcoming Great War, as no one wanted to invoke the other great powers. Guarantees, as eventually the Germans would come around and guarantee the Dutch at the turn of the century, quite literally on New Year's Day of 1900. Also in the Treaty of Luxembourg was the condition that Luxembourg would formally leave its personal union with the Dutch upon the death of William III, the King of the Netherlands. Now this seemingly unimportant thing is nothing truly changed in Europe, not until the death of William, at least, would have consequences, as the continent almost went back to its first major war, although many imagine it would have likely been closer to the Franco-Prussian Wars. Most historians believe that the Germans would have been crushed from all sides, even if they made gains into Luxembourg and the Netherlands, and it would have been the destruction of the German state. Now, Wilhelm saw the purpose in diplomacy over this, and would adapt some of Bismarck's tactics, although he would end up firing him by 1890, only a year and a half after this conflict. Now, he would look to his familial relations when he was picking allies. This would lead him to build relations with the Russian royal family, the Romanovs, and in particular his cousin, Nicholas, who would become the heir to the Russian Tsardom, as well as his grandmother Victoria, as well as his uncle and an uncle who would become Edward VII, and his cousin who would become George V. These would be the foundations of what would be called jokingly the Northern Coalition in the upcoming Great War, considering the three major powers in the alliance would be to the north of the battlefield. Meanwhile, this conversation led Napoleon IV to stop attempting to make an alliance with Britain, as he viewed them as untrustworthy, and the French and the Austrians began to form closer relationships, as well as with northern Italy. Now, this would be nicknamed the Catholic League, but was formerly known as the Southern Entente, as it was becoming clearer and clearer who their opposition would be in the upcoming war. Now, we will come to a stopping point now, as next time we will briefly go over in the next few decades of history, which will largely see these alliances kind of coalesce around each other. And as I hope to get to the outbreak of the Great War. Thank you for listening to the Alternate History Class podcast. If you'd like to give any feedback you have, feel free to reach out via Twitter at althisclasspod or email the show at althisclass@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe or follow the show on your preferred podcasting platform so you don't miss an episode when it goes live. If you are able, want to help the show financially, you can support the show on Patreon. Just search for Alternate History Class or use the link in the description of this episode. If you can't support the show financially, that's fine. Feel free to share the show with someone you think will enjoy it. And finally, thank you for your most important contribution, your time. And I'll see you next time as we journey down the path not taken.